What's happening, everybody? Welcome to another installment of the Kwame Fisher Jones Show, brought to you by WWDBAM Talk 860. It is a nice day here out in Philadelphia. I hope everybody who's listening out in Philadelphia or anyone's listening on the iHeartRadio app, thank you for joining and riding with us this Saturday. We're here every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. Playoff basketball is in the air, so we got to talk NBA. Also going to open up today. Got a good, pretty good show. Some technical difficulties, so I won't be able to get some of my guests on it, as I mentioned to those watching on Facebook Live, but we're still going to roll with it. So we're still going to talk some Ben Simmons growing pains today. We're going to talk the jig is up on Markelle Fultz. Celtics rebuild versus the Sixers rebuild, which I'm really excited about getting into that segment. And this is going to be... it's going to be some major changes this offseason in the NBA with LeBron going, possibly going west, Kawhi possibly more than likely going east. I'm also going to get into the Knicks and David Fizdale hiring. I like David Fizdale. I don't know if he and the Knicks are a good fit, so we're going to get into that. Also going to talk why the Pittsburgh Steelers need to move on from Big Ben. It's long overdue. Hopefully this is his last season in Pittsburgh. Enough's enough. I was one of Big Ben's biggest fans. I was trying to think of a different adjective to say other than biggest. I was one of Big Ben's favorite. He was one of my favorite players, and you know, from sexual assault to the motorcycle accident to just the reports out of Pittsburgh. I think it's time for Pittsburgh to make a move. And rarely do you say that about a two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback, but enough's enough. So we're going to get into that, and then we're going to finish up with some Matt Ryan love. I love the fact that a player in the NFL is finally getting his paper. But as I stated, we're going to open up with Ben Simmons' struggles. And now, for those of you who don't know, I'm in the Philadelphia market. All of the talk radio that I get is in Philadelphia. I do listen to some national guys, but I try to support my brothers out here. Ty Johnson, I try to rock with him. James Seltzer with one of the other stations. Two good dudes in the industry that I got a chance to work with, and I'm excited about them. So I try to support them. So therefore, sometimes I have to listen to the Philadelphia sports scene. And a lot of the scene this week in this city was Ben Simmons' struggles. And it was one of the two things that infuriated me. And one of the reasons why the Simmons talk infuriated me is because you would think that a city like Philadelphia would understand how how basketball works, specifically the basketball gods. You know, I don't quote the great philosopher Shaquille O'Neal much, but in order for you, he's got this phrase that in order for you to have success, you must fail first. And it's really cereal box logic. Like, it's like if you go in the back of a cereal box, it'll give you a map and it'll give you that slogan. But it makes sense. And it's true. And it rings significantly true in the NBA. So Ben Simmons had a horrible game. He had 1 point, which doesn't bother me much. The single point didn't bother me. It was the 4 shot attempts that really irked me. But I knew going in to this series that Simmons was going to struggle. For me, this series was never about the Sixers per se. It was more or less about Ben Simmons and his success and his growth as a player. He pretty much walked on water throughout the season. You know, you had to detract. He can't shoot a jump shot. Which I always think is funny because very rarely does a 6'11 dude ever come in with a solid jump shot. I can show you footage of Kevin Garnett. Show you early footage of Tim Duncan's free throws. Jump shooting is not something big men come into the league with. They develop it over time. I mean, when I mentioned Shaquille O'Neal, when he first came into the league, all he did was back you down and dunk. You develop a jump shot over time. I say it all the time. In NBA practices, all NBA players do is argue over Instagram models and work on their jump shot. So I wasn't bothered by Ben Simmons' struggles about his jump shot. But I felt he had enough special attributes that he would still register a terrific opening inaugural season, which he did. But last week, I walked you through this process. Last week, I discussed ad nauseum, went over how he was going to struggle. I told you Marcus Smart was going to dig in his, can I say butt? Marcus Smart was going to become familiar with his hind parts. That's a safe way to say it on Josh. It's a good way to say it. Keep me on the air. That Brad Stevens was a terrific coach, was going to throw things at Ben Simmons that he had never seen before. and he was going to struggle with them. I didn't say he would get frustrated. I don't believe, as much as people are trying to say, that he looked rattled. I call BS. He didn't look rattled. He had to fight through things he had never seen before. This is not a dude that played point guard his entire life. He may have been a facilitator his entire life. He may have initiated offenses his entire life, but he has never been an NBA point guard. And I will say it until I am purple in my nose that point guard, quarterback are the hardest positions in sports to transition to from college to the professional ranks. There are going to be hills. There are going to be peaks in those journeys. Every great journey requires you to travel through something. But these comparisons to pedestrian ball players are irking my soul. If you don't know by now that Ben Simmons is special, I don't know what to tell you. Throw the triple doubles out. Throw them out the window. Let's act like the triple doubles didn't happen. All right? Throw out the defense that you see with your own eyes on smaller guards, big guards, on forwards. Throw out the Sixers win-loss total from last year to this year. Throw all of that out. And let me ask you one simple question that will solidify my point. I'm going to ask you one single question. What player has the Sixers drafted in the last 10 years that has developed? And I'll wait. I'm talking before Hinkie. I'm talking before Ed Stefanski, Rod Thorne. I want you to journey all the way back to me with the Larry Brown era and Billy King, who still won't come. I can't get Billy King to return a text message, an email from me, because I have said he and Larry Brown could be arguably the worst general managers in the history of professional sports in Philadelphia. But think about this. Throw everything out that you've witnessed with Ben Simmons and ask yourself this one question. What player have the Philadelphia 76ers organization developed in the last 10 to 15 years? If the best you can do is Allen Iverson, I throw out to you this. In Allen Iverson's illustrious career in Philadelphia, he won 50 or more games once. Ben Simmons did it in his first year. I'm going to repeat that for you. If Allen Iverson is to which you hang your hat on as your basketball reference, your gold standard for the Philadelphia 76ers, in his illustrious career, all the 50-point games, the 40-point games as a rookie, rocking Jordan twice, Allen Iverson's Sixers team won 50 or more games once. Ben Simmons did it in his first season. That should squash any questions you have. Yes, there are going to be days where he scores 1 point. There are going to be days where he struggles. All great players struggle. All great players struggle. They have to go through that. When Tex Winters was challenging Michael Jordan, and everyone talks about that, it wasn't about what Phil Jackson did. It was about him going to get a trainer named Tim Grover and making him a machine. You know, LeBron James does all these fantastic things. In his 15th season in the NBA, he's got a Navy SEAL that he works with. These players learn through the fire, through the bullets, and then they take it back and they process it. This will be the best thing that ever happens to Ben Simmons. Marcus Smart will be the reason why Ben Simmons leads his team to 8 straight NBA finals. The same way Dwayne Casey was the reason LeBron James has led his teams to 7, which will probably be 8 straight NBA finals. You have to fall. You have to crumble. You have to score 1 point. And like I said, the 4 shot attempts is what irked me the most. But the singular point is seems to be the reason why so many are clamoring. I don't want to hear any more about what Ben Simmons can't do. Sit down, shut up and think about this. 56 wins. That's what Allen Iverson gave you. 2001. 17 years later, you got 52 wins from a guy who you say can't make a jump shot. One guy peaked after years of being in the league. Another guy is just getting started. And his starting point is better than the guy you're pairing him against. Think about that before you tell me about a jump shot. Before you tell me, I don't want to see the flip hook shot. And like, it really bothers me, and I know I'm pressing against it, Josh. Just give me the 30 seconds. It really bothers me that people keep looking at Ben Simmons and wondering and talking about what he can't do. How many people questioned Brett Brown's coaching before Ben Simmons walked on that floor? Look at Joel Embiid's win-loss record before Ben Simmons walked on that floor. J.J. Redick is having a career year because of Ben Simmons. Prior to that, he was an underachiever with Chris Paul, the point fraud. Shout out my man Sam Dansbury. How many play? Robert Covington just got $16 million playing along Ben Simmons. And Marco Bellinelli and Irasan Ilyasova are playing in the playoffs because of Ben Simmons. And you want to talk to me about a jump shot? Sit down, shut up, and enjoy the greatness that you're witnessing. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the other side of the pendulum, Markelle Fultz, which is another thing that's irking me because you guys act like you didn't see this before. You're acting like nine wins just kind of screwed right by your mind. This is the Kwame Fitzjones Show on Talk 860. WWDBAM will be back with more NBA talk.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on your walls, doors, windows, or sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. What's more, just 3 granules of lead dust from old paint can poison your child. If your house was built before 1978 and you have kids 6 years old or younger or are pregnant, it's very important to know what to do. There are simple steps you can take to make your kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD for more information. A message from the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, the EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Kwame Fisher Jones Show every Saturday, 4 to 5, brought to you by WWDB AM Talk 860. Shout out to everybody that's watching me on Facebook Live, try to master this technology thing. And if you're in the Philadelphia area listening on Talk 860, shout out to you. And if you're listening on the iHeart Radio app, what's good to you as well? I just got done talking about Ben Simmons and my appreciation, my infatuation with his greatness, and I feel like a lot of the nonsense coming his way is ridiculous. But, you know, I guess it's par for the course when you don't get the things that Ben Simmons brings to the table. But here's another thing that really, like I said, man, it's kind of like the gift and the curse. I'm going to talk to my man Josh for a second behind the glass. It's kind of like the gift and the curse, man. I listen to Philly Sports Talk Radio because, like I said, I want to support, you know, some of the cats that I went through the trials and the fire with. And one of the more talented people I've ever worked with, I don't want to say his name because I don't want Tyrone Johnson to get in trouble, but he is a producer for a certain individual show. And I always try to support Ty, whatever Ty does, because it's like you come across certain people and when you work with them, you're like, yo, you know what? In a few years, I'm going to see that dude at the top. Because I know I'm going to the top and I'm going to see this cat across from me. So Ty is one of them. And Poop is one of them. And one of the things that Joe, A couple comments were made about one Markelle Fultz. And one of the comments was, and it wasn't made by the individual I support. It was made by the people that signed his check. And they said nobody knew Fultz had these competitive fire issues. I'll leave it at that. And I'm like, what? Like, hold the phone. Pause. Hold. I know that I'm not the smart. Like, I may think I'm the smartest man in the room, but sometimes there may be a couple people that can give me a run for my money. But I can just as easily go to a YouTube and watch an entire game, not a highlight. I want to emphasize that. Not a highlight reel that's cut up to make a person look better than what they actually are. You know, not a Photoshop to make her butt look a little nicer than what it really is. But I'm talking about an actual game. I know when I went to YouTube and watched the Washington State basketball game, watched the UCLA home opener against Lonzo Ball, I know the player that I saw. When I got a chance to read the articles by Percy Allen and other people that covered the Washington Huskies, I know what they were reporting. So to insult my intelligence and say that nobody knew was a smack in the face. And I won't even reference the article that I wrote on the 76er files, which you can check out, that said when I heard that Markelle Fultz was spending time in Boston and they were not in love with him as a player, they were not in love with Markelle Fultz and were looking to move that pick. And I heard that during the season when they couldn't trade Isaiah Thomas during the All-Star break. So that's when I started looking around saying Sixers could possibly make a move for this dude. Let me look into it. And then someone uttered the words, well, you think you know more than the people in the Sixers organization. Since when does your employment with a company or with a person, when is that some indication that you have knowledge about a topic? How many bad coaches, bad GMs, bad scouts are there out there in sports? So just because you get a paycheck, you automatically are someone that is in the know, someone that knows more than someone who doesn't. How much does politics play a role in your position? And the thing that bothers me about Markelle Fultz, he's not failing the Sixers, or the organization failed him. You're getting the guy that gave Washington 9 wins. That's that dude that's sitting at the end of the bench. That's Markelle Fultz. He's not a competitor. He can tell you he's a competitor. I can tell you ham and cheese is peanut butter and jelly. When you eat it, if you taste ham and cheese, but yet say it's a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich, whose fault is that? Damn sure ain't mine. If I'm sitting there spitting in your face and you're saying, man, it's a hell of a rainstorm out here, whose fault is that? It's not mine. Did you not see a dude who left the team for a mystery knee injury? And I'm not questioning if he was hurt. I'm saying that he left the team. Since when does a team pass on the number one pick in the draft? Think about that for a moment. You walk into a car lot and you state how you can have any car you want, and you go find someone off the street and say, I'll pick after he picks. Where they do that at? Shouldn't your antennas have gone off then? And the thing that bothers me the most, the GM should be called on the carpet. But in this case, I don't know if it was just Colangelo. But GMs are what make organizations great. Organizations fail players much more than players fail organizations. I use a lot of different things here. But everyone seems to believe Michael Jordan is the greatest, and they just eliminate all the factors that go into his greatness. There is no 6 rings in Chicago without a Jerry Krause, who had the foresight to trade Olden Polynes for Scottie Pippen, who knew to pass on Karl Malone. And for those of you that wonder why he passed on Karl Malone, outside of the lack of championships, just Google Karl Malone and 13-year-old. Good general managers make good organizations. Bad general managers make bad organizations. Mediocre, blah, 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 so forth and so on. Jerry West wins everywhere he goes. There's a reason for that. Jerry West knew Klay Thompson had more competitive fire than Kevin Love. And I'm going to bring it back a little more. When I watched Markelle Fultz play at Washington, I saw a gifted athlete that sometimes skipped on the basketball court. Can I say that? Because if I say prance, that's an insult to his masculinity, right? So I say skip. Sometimes, and when you think about skip, I'm talking head up, shoulders back, chest out, skipping down the basketball court on defense. Competitors are people who bleed before they leave the court. They don't care about your feelings. Steph Curry leaves the chapel and goes and throws mouthpieces at referees. Pause. Think about that. Think about what I just said. Steph Curry, everyone's favorite player, throws his nasty mouthpiece at referees when he doesn't get calls. This is who Markelle Fultz is. There's questions about why he's not angry about not playing. Because he's not a competitor. He just likes to play basketball. LeBron James is a competitor. Ben Simmons is a competitor. Joel Embiid is a competitor. Jason Tatum is a competitor. Markelle Fultz is a really good scorer. There is a difference. So while we chastise this kid, kill this kid, rock this kid, belittle this child, because he is a child, he's 19 years old. Think about that for a moment. He didn't say, I'm the best player in this draft. You did. He didn't say, give up everything to come get me. You decided to do that. Now you want to point a finger at him and say he's the reason for his struggles? When is it okay for a number one pick in any draft to sit if he's healthy? It's never a good reason, right? When will they let you? When will someone who's talented sit back idly and allow less talented people play in front of them? Let me tell you something. I'm in Brett Brown's driveway if he tells me TJ McConnell's starting over me or playing over me one more again. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the shoe deal. I don't care about the contract. I don't care about anything. The fact that that 5'11 dude is playing over me would make me lose sleep at night. I'm not going to sit there and support the team. And I'm going to go to break on this. Joel Embiid, when they told him he wasn't going to play in Miami, and you can look this up, threatened hell and high water if he didn't come, if he didn't play. When they said, we're going to hold you out a little bit, he said, you know what? And let me take that back. Because great players, great people, competitors, they don't threaten you. They warn you. Joel Embiid warned them that they will all have to sleep with one eye open if he doesn't play. And he's played like he's played like crap in these playoffs. Like, I'll get into that later. That's a competitor. That's a competitor. When they told Markelle he wasn't going to play, I'll support the team the best way I can. The hell out of here with that. That's your number one pick. He's here now. So let's find a way to use him. Let's find a way to support him because he ain't going nowhere. And the current regime has a history. Nerlens Noel, line one. Michael Carter Williams, line two. Jahlil Okafor, line three. Of squandering players who were talented before they walked in the door. Now coming back, I want to get into the rebuild, the contrast between the rebuilds. So this is going to be a heavy NBA finals or NBA playoff show. I'm going to finish it off with some NFL, but I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to compare the Boston Celtics rebuild style versus how Josh had to do behind you, the process. We'll be right back with more Kwame Fitzgerald Show.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn
today
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov, a message from the Ad Council.
The thing is, I would never give blood before. You know, before this happened to me, I thought of every excuse in the book, but I'm so thankful that everybody didn't think the way I did, or I would have died.
Like so many new mothers, Noelle needed blood during the birth of her son. Thanks to the American Red Cross and a donor like you, it was there. One donation, just an hour of your time, can help save up to 3 lives. Please sign up to give now at redcrossblood.org.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Kwame Fitzgerald Show, brought to you by WWDBAM Talk 860. Part of, what is it, the Beasley Media Group? Is that what it is? Part of the Beasley Media Group? I feel like I've been streaming a lot. I think I got a lot on my chest. And I know some of my comments are going to offend some of my supporters there. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, it when you're talking about sports, your passion, your fire should be burning inside you. You shouldn't be able to talk sports like you're sitting back holding a cigar. So, you know, we got the Sixers and the Celtics. And for those of you just joining us, it's been a heavy 76ers take the court at 5 p.m. We got the 5 p.m. game, 5 against the Boston Celtics. And one of the things that I keep saying one of the things, but it's so much going on right now. So much going on, and you try to put it all in together for you. The Celtics and the Sixers, this is something that will not be discussed. Well, has not been discussed up until this point. And you're going to get it here first. And after that, after today, I almost guarantee you will hear this somewhere if you're in the Philadelphia market. The 2012 season was a kind of a line in the sand for both the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. After that season, the Sixers decided to hire Sam Pinky. I was about to call him Sam Pinky. Sam Hinkie, and basically implement and orchestrate what has been now coined the process. But both teams decided to rebuild. The Sixers and the Celtics made draft picks before they hired their coaches. The Celtics I'll look it up, right before they brought in one Brad Stevens. I forget who Danny Ainge decided to draft. I'm going to look this up. I don't have any I don't have any production assistants to do this for me, so I got to do it myself. But it's very important that I throw this out there, because the fact that I can't remember the name is the point that I want to emphasize here. So, yeah, the Celtics drafted, I can't even say this dude's name, Lucas, no longer in the league, like Nogaraga is no longer in the league. They drafted him and then traded him, and that was the Celtics' first pick, and then they wound up hiring Brad Stevens. In fact, the only person they got from that draft was Kelly Olynyk. That was the first guy they drafted. Meanwhile, the Sixers, they draft Michael Carter Williams, and then almost a full month later, they hire Brett Brown. Both teams are in full tank mode, if you will. Meanwhile, there was something brewing. The Sixers were doing, basically what they decided to do was lose on purpose. And no one knows the full depths of how bad they wanted to lose. There's some arguments out there that they purposely passed on good players like Giannis Antetokounmpo for Michael Carter Williams because they felt Giannis would be a good player. I'd say Hinkie couldn't identify that talent. They drafted Nerlens Noel instead of going after Rudy Gobert, and, you know, it could have been purposeful. We'll never know. We'll never know what lies in the heart of Sam Hinkie. But what we do know is both teams' inaugural seasons were horrendous. Philly won 19, Boston won 25. But going back to that 2013 season, when both teams decided to rebuild, the Celtics are 221-189. They've won 221 games and only lost 189. The Sixers have won 127 games and lost 283. Is it a coinkydink that these two teams are meeting in the playoffs? Is it a coincidence that these courses were set to collide? What's the phrase, everything you do in the dark shall come to the light? You know, and I want to think of something deep, but that's what's ringing my bell right now. And I use that, you like us play because they're going to ring the bell before the game, like what I did there. That's what's getting me, because the Sixers decided, And for those of you that want to defend the records, you'll say they weren't trying to win. They were content with being a bad team while they tried to build. And we'll never know how focused they were on being bad, because there was talent in those drafts to be had. And it wasn't like Boston nailed every pick. It wasn't like Boston put together a tremendous run here. I mean, look at some of the draft picks that Danny Ainge has brought in here. James Young. I love Marcus Smart. I spoke about him last week. It matters to him. But that's the guy that the Celtics drafted in that draft. You know, Phil Pressey, Fab Mello. These are guys the Celtics decided to go with. Chris Babb. While Sam Hinkie was signing the Hollis Thomas of the world, Hollis Thomas, whatever, and the players that he was bringing along, trading Drew Holiday, who looks great now in New Orleans. Think we could use a Drew Holiday? Think about that. You got Justin Anderson is your Drew Holiday, because that's when the smoke cleared and everything left, that's what you got for Drew Holiday, was Justin Anderson, and you can't even get him off the bench. The Celtics have managed to do something the Sixers only wished they should have done at this point. Because here's the thing. The Celtics added Isaiah Thomas. He becomes an all-star. They move Isaiah Thomas and add Kyrie Irving. Now, the Sixers are down 2-0 to a team that is without Kyrie Irving. The Celtics had enough money to go out, or had enough foresight to go out and make enough moves to add a Gordon Hayward. The Sixers re-up Robert Covington. And the Celtics are still managing to, at the very least, stay with the team that is supposed to be the team that's going to win the Eastern Conference. When we started trusting, when they started losing and they decided to draft the Jahlil Okafor over Kristaps Porzingis and the Devin Harris, everyone said, okay. When the Sixers continued to struggle, 18 wins, 10 wins, it was about accumulating assets. It was about doing things. What was it? What 19 wins, 18 wins, 10 wins, 28 wins. Meanwhile, Boston was playing in the playoffs, 40 wins, 50 wins, 55 wins, 52 wins. And now we're hearing Kawhi Leonard may be available. And those assets that you've been rushing to accumulating, that's now what you want to use to grab a Kawhi Leonard. Boston's got better assets. Because in the end, it's not about where you pick in the draft. It's always about who you pick in the draft. And that's where this whole thing gets lost. It's not about Joel Embiid's health injury or health concerns, which I will go to my grave saying that I believe Hinkie thought this brother would never play in the NBA, thus allowing him to continue to suck. When the NBA stepped in and relieved Hinkie of his duty, when the NBA stepped in and started questioning things and Hinkie decided to resign and give the 400-page manifesto, one of the lines in there is, I have no doubt that the Sixers will find a way to separate customers from their wallets when this team is ready to win. And I give you Markelle Fultz. I give you a trade that gives you the number one pick in the draft. It's never been about talent. Because you can identify talent. Talent cannot hide. Talent is not something you miss unless you choose to close your eyes. The Celtics decided to buck the trend and pass on Brett Brown, pass on David Fizdale, who just got hired in New York, and we'll talk about that later. And they decided to go with Brad Stevens, who came out of Butler, which is a bottom Division I team. Correct me if I'm wrong, fellas. Bottom Division I team. That's how you rebuild. No matter how great the pieces are, no matter how, you know, essentially, and I use this analogy 10,000 times. What Sam Hinkie did was he went to Produce Junction, what's the fancy grocery store that everyone goes to where like an apple's like $5, the organic store. What's that store called? It's not the Junction. It's not the World Market. It's the fancy one where everyone goes in yoga pants. Well, anyway, you know the store I'm talking about. Where, you know, it's like fancy. It's like $10 for a glass of orange juice because it comes from like the finest oranges in the land. But anyway, Sam Hinkie essentially went to that grocery store, grabbed something from every aisle, went back to the house and said, these are the groceries that I have. Never made you a dish. Never put anything together for you. But you're sitting around going, oh, well, we've got $10 orange juice. So we know it's going to be good. Meanwhile, this is going to be terrible. Danny Ainge went to Walmart, found some hardworking dudes, brought them back to the house, and they've created a magnificent meal, and they're still getting better. It's not about the aisle. It's not about the items in the aisle. It's about what you do with them. And now I'm sitting here as a Sixers fan. I knew the Sixers. And like I said, this was never about the Sixers winning this series. Like I never thought they would. And I've got a big guest planned for this week. So I'm hoping they can make it to game five. Hoping they can win the next two games. So, you know, it'll make my guest like the white elephant that I'm going to have in my unicorn that no one can seem to bring in. I'm going to bring him in and we'll have a good guest. But this was never about them winning this series. It's always been about developing Ben Simmons, who they grabbed. And, you know, we can argue about this all day. I don't think Hinkie would have drafted Simmons. I don't. His track record suggests otherwise. You know who would have drafted him? Danny Ainge. And I hate Danny Ainge. And you should never use the word hate, and it's wrong to hate, but I hate Danny Ainge. And not because he's a Celtic, not because he seems to always get it right, but because all he did was do what every general manager in the league aspires to do. It's get good players. If you're looking for guys that don't want to play hard, where am I supposed to believe that all of a sudden you can find guys that can play hard? If you're great at finding guys that aren't good, think about it. If you're great at picking bad fruit, why am I supposed to believe that you know what makes good fruit? If you don't eat pork, how are you going to tell me what a good pork chop tastes like? It doesn't make sense. It's the point I'm getting at. And now I've got to go and listen to people rip these players. It's not their fault. It's not, they didn't do this. Robert Covington can't make a layup. Hello? Did we not know that when we brought him in? Terry Rozier, 16th pick out of Louisville. I don't even know who we got in that draft, but I know we didn't get Terry Rozier. I didn't know we didn't get a closer. It's not where you draft. Who you draft. Now it's Colangelo's fault. Now the Sixers look unathletic because Jamal Crawford didn't want to come here. You had to overpay for J.J. Redick. It's painful to watch. But more importantly, it's painful to accept that we've got one of the... It's like we fell into one of the more transcendent talents in the league, and we don't know how the hell to put a team around him. And we don't know how the hell to put a team around him because the bottom line was we decided to find everybody, the scouts, everyone. Think about how bad the medical staff was. How many guys went out injured? How many guys rolled an ankle that morphed into a torn meniscus? How many jammed fingers turned into a dislocated shoulder? Every part of the organization was built around not being good. Meanwhile, the Celtics brought in a psychiatrist to find what ticks in these dudes, what makes them want to play. When Boston was making playoff runs, we were having lottery parties. But these guys know what it takes to win. These guys, this organization now knows what they want to do. And I know a lot of Sixer fans, think about this. I'm with you here. There's no more Sixer fan than me. I love my children. But yes, when they're wrong, I will beat them and call them out. I want a new owner. How about that? How about I put it that way? I don't want a venture capitalist running the Sixers anymore. I want an owner. I like that. I'll leave you with that bit. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to talk David Fizdale. Then we're going to jump into Big Ben and the Matt Ryan deal. You listen to the Kwame Fisher Jones Show brought to you by Talk 860.
Unfortunately, many people facing foreclosure believe they're on a one-way street.
How did I end up here?
Please take next exit.
What? But there is no exit.
It may not seem that way now, but I'm giving you the right directions to help you save your home from foreclosure.
Okay, talking to my GPS. I must really need help.
Facing foreclosure alone is stressful. That's why you need advice from a HUD-approved housing counselor. They offer expert, trustworthy advice that might help you avoid foreclosure no matter how difficult the situation seems.
It's difficult, all right.
And best of all, the advice is free.
Wow.
Now please exit this road you've been on for far too long.
Facing foreclosure? Don't go it alone. Get the right directions from a HUD-approved housing counselor today. For more information, visit www.hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
You are a waste. A loser. Everyone hates you. Why don't you just stay in your car and keep driving? I'm serious. Drive until you run out of gas, then get out of your car and walk until you find someone who doesn't think you're dumber than bricks. Could take a while, but at least all that walking might burn a couple of calories.
You may not witness bullying like this every day. Your kids do. They want to help, but they don't know how. Visit StopBullying.gov to learn safe, simple ways your child can help stop bullying. Be more than a bystander at StopBullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Kwame Fisher Jones Show. Good discussion with one of my producers about J.J. Redick. You listen to Kwame Fisher every Saturday, 4 to 5 p.m. I know I lost a lot of people with my Sixers rant. I had to get it off my chest. And my producer brought a great question. He asked me, do I think the Sixers overpaid for J.J. Redick? And I explained to him that Jamal Crawford refused to come in. He didn't want to take the money. He chose Minnesota. And he said that J.J. Redick, and I want to make sure I quote him correctly, he said J.J. Redick was a good piece, good quality veteran who had been a good player in the league for a while. My issue with that is this. J.J. Redick has always been around dysfunction. Is that a good way to say it? J.J. Redick's always... So you can say he didn't push the button for the dynamite. Like, he's not Bugs Bunny pushing the box down for it to blow up. But he's always in the room when it goes kaboom. How's that? That's a good analogy for you. And that's the guy I didn't want. There's no knock against J.J. But when Orlando went kaboom, J.J. was in the room. When Milwaukee went kaboom, J.J. was in the room. And when the Clippers went kaboom, J.J. was in the room. Now, you can blame it on Dwight Howard. He said it was Dwight Howard's fault. I can't argue with that. I'm probably the one dude that likes Dwight Howard. I don't even think Dwight Howard's mama likes him at this point. But, you know, I definitely feel like when you talk about J.J. Redick, you're talking about a guy who's always around dysfunction. And whether he may not be responsible for this dysfunction, he's not responsible for stopping it. And as you watch the Sixers play, I mean, it's a perfect example. Jason Tatum, a rookie, is giving J.J. Redick fists. Now, J.J.'s playing well on the offensive end, but damn it, you needed a guy to stop him on the defensive end. You needed a guy who could go out and make Tatum work on the defensive end. And that's not happening. So a fool and their money are always parted. The Sixers had to overpay for a guy to get him in. You know, it's no mistake that they've got Bellinelli coming in, a guy that's been on every NBA team in the association. I like Arizon. He leads the league in taking charges. He's one of the best charge takers in the league because he's slow. And in a league that thrives on athleticism, moving without the ball, setting screens, getting open, you've got a guy that always takes charges. That's how you break it down. He's a good rebounder. He was a good rebounder years ago. I wouldn't say he's still a good rebounder, but he was one of the players that you could look at and depend on to get good rebounds. My issue with the Sixers, and I'm going to wrap this up in a bow because I want to get to David Fizdale. And the biggest thing with the Sixers is this. They had opportunities to get good players. And they chose not to do that because they kept telling us the guys that they got were going to register and help them win. And now they're facing the very team that started the race with them. And this team is handing them their butt. And the one guy that can help them, the one guy that can help them, they still haven't even developed. And that's Ben Simmons. That's my issue there. But hey, like I said, I hope they make it to five games because I really want to get this guest in here. So next, David Fizdale. David Fizdale was named head coach of New York Knicks. And I'm taken aback by that because I believe that LeBron James was headed. I believe that without a doubt, LeBron James is headed to the Los Angeles Lakers. And he's taking David Fizdale and Paul George with him. He's got two houses in L.A. That's what everyone keeps throwing out there. For me, it doesn't matter about the houses. It doesn't matter about, you know, the L.A. weather. Magic Johnson's in L.A. Brian Colangelo's in Philly. Daryl Morey's in Houston. Who you rolling with? I'm going to repeat that for you. Doesn't matter about the palm trees. Doesn't matter about the weather. Doesn't matter about the houses. Magic Johnson's in Los Angeles. Brian Colangelo's in Philly. Daryl Morey's in Houston. Five championship rings, icon, top player in NBA history versus legacy and a calculator. I don't even think Daryl Morey's been to a NBA Finals before. And the next All-Star Daryl Morey drafts will be the first. Now, I'm not that hard on Brian Colangelo. I think he did a good job with the Toronto team. Barnyarny is a stain on his shirt, but I mean, who are you taking number one in that draft? You taking LaMarcus Aldridge? You taking Rudy Gay? So it's kind of like it is what it is. So I don't fault him for that. But the Fizdale hire threw me for a loop because it made me question. And how it went down, the pieces that fell into place were simple. Fizdale went to the interview and then sat down with owner James Dolan and took the job. I like David Fizdale. I don't like the Knicks organization. I think they're how can I say this and keep it? I'm trying to keep it PC today, and I'm flustered with it. I like Fizdale, but he's in an organization that doesn't know they stink. He's at an organization that doesn't know they suck. You know, it's like the guy that's got poop. I'm full of great analogies there. It's like the guy that's got poop on his shoe can smell it, but doesn't want to take it off his shoe. That's the Knicks. The Knicks in their mind still think they're a top free agent destination. And the last top free agent they brought in was Amari Stoudemire, who had to have 17 doctors before they would clear him. I mean, the Knicks are still telling you how we're New York, we're New York, we're New York. Dude, I don't care. You haven't won a title in almost 50 years. You are the Northeast version of the Charlotte Bobcats / Hornets / Tulsa Fire Engines. You're irrelevant. And you have to accept that before you can truly build. And I don't think James Dolan has accepted that. So now you got a guy in Fizdale who's going to come in and try to rebuild this organization. You're going to have an owner that's expecting unrealistic goals. And as I always say, with expectations come disappointment. If you expect something, 9 out of 10, you're not going to get it. So as much as I love David Fizdale, I don't know if this is a good move for him. And I wonder what's going on in Los Angeles. See, it's like the secondary muscle that you're working out. What's going on in LA that would lead Fizdale to take that job? Because you're going to have to overhaul everything. And like I said, if Frank Nicolina is your player, then damn it, you've got to develop him because Dennis Smith Jr. ain't walking through that door. You like that? Donovan Mitchell ain't walking through that door. Tim Hardaway Jr., that's a guy they overpaid for. You want to talk about a guy that got way too much money, Tim Hardaway Jr. I like Tim Hardaway Jr. I wish he would have been in Philly, but I wouldn't have given him that money. So, until the Knicks, you know, you try to rebuild your credit. You got to deal with the things you got on your credit first before you can add new things, before you can get that extension of credit. That's what the Knicks need to do. They need to deal with the draft picks they have first before they can start worrying about other drafts. their head coach is flying out to Lithuania, or not Lithuania, Latvia. I said Lithuania, Latvia, wherever the hell Kristoff's from, to go have a conversation with him. Because he can't pick up the phone and trust what he's seeing. He needs to look in his eyes. That's not the way to start a relationship, bro. That's not the way to start a relationship. I need to see how bad she really wants me, so I got to go stand outside her job and wait for her to come out. You can't voice chat in that mofo? The iPhone, you can't iChat, whatever. I mean, I'm old, but I know you can do those things. It sounds like a baby, please take me back flight. That's not what I want to walk into if I'm David Fizdale. That's not what I want to walk into if I'm Mark Jackson. And I've said it before, the Knicks needed a guy who was happy and hardworking. They didn't need a guy who already had something. Because if you know better, you expect better. Who was Pat Riley before he became the coach of the Lakers? Who was Eric Spoelstra before he became? And don't message me what they... I know Pat Riley was an announcer. I know Eric Spoelstra was a video coordinator. The point is, they were no names. Who was Phil Jackson before he coached the Bulls? They were no names. And each guy walked into a different situation and made the most out of the situation because their meals depended on it. Their life depended on it. And they were guys who had something in them that made them go that extra mile. As much as I love David Fizdale, he's not that guy. The moment he benched Marc Gasol in Memphis, you knew he knew better, so he expected better. That wasn't the direction the Knicks should have went. All right, so we got what? 9 minutes. All right, we got to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I got to rip into Big Ben. Have you guys heard what Big Ben said? So Big Ben got mad because he didn't like the Steelers draft pick. How the hell you give 2 weeks notice and then get mad at who the organization hires to replace you? Who? We'll be right back. I need to get that off my chest. We'll be right back with more of the Kwame Fitzgerald Show.
Are you thinking about getting your GED diploma? Well, here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a number of pep talks that can motivate you.
Sometimes things don't always turn out the way you want them to.
You know that feeling? People look at you and don't believe in you.
You want some gentle encouragement.
Then you're on your way to your GED diploma and a better life.
But I know you're probably just a little bit nervous.
You can find it in yourself to take that first step.
You can improve your future.
You can do this. I know you can.
You need to start pushing yourself.
Now get your game face on and take the first step towards a better life.
Hurry up. Don't make me repeat myself.
Whatever level of motivation you need to get your GED diploma, we've got a pep talk that's right for you. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org for your pep talk and find free GED classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education, brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Welcome back to the Kwame Fitzgerald Show every Saturday, 4 to 5, WWDB AM, Talk 860. Looking at some of the Sixers. Sixers are getting ready to go. So give me a thumbs up, guys. Sixers win tonight, Sixers lose tonight. Yeah, Josh doesn't even know the Sixers play. I want to say the Sixers win tonight. I got a weird feeling about this. I think Ben's going to come out and try to be something he's not. You know, he's a Suburban. I think he's going to try to be a Ferrari, and I think they're going to run into some issues. I think it's a close one, but I think Boston pulls it out tonight, which sucks because I got such a big guest planned and I can't get it in. Just a technical, I had two guests scheduled today and wasn't able to bring them in. My Wi-Fi right now is like the worst. I can't get on anything right now. And I know I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get an email for ripping new organization's Wi-Fi, but dude, like my Wi-Fi is stinky. It's horrible right now. All right, we got it in business here. You can check it out on Facebook Live. Yeah, I think the Sixers lose tonight. I think that I don't like it. Yeah, I don't know what's going on, so I'm just gonna bat out. I'm getting pointed to out here. I got 5 minutes left. So Big Ben decided that about 5 to 6 weeks into the season that he didn't have it anymore. And he decided that he essentially wanted to, Big Ben decided essentially he wanted to retire. So in the process of wanting to retire, Big Ben said, you know what? Came and told the organization, I'm going to retire. And then decides in the midst of it, nah, I don't want to retire. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to leave you guys high and dry. Yeah, I can't get anything to work in here, guys. So I'm good. I'll just fly through with what I got. I'll fly through what I got. I got 5 minutes left to make this work. So yeah, Big Ben decides, okay, I'm going to retire. Start the story over again. Big Ben comes to the organization and says, I'm going to retire. So the Steelers organization, being an astute, well-run organization, decides, you know what, we're going to draft a replacement for him or draft someone that can help us win should Big Ben have another midlife crisis. Now, keep in mind, the Steelers stuck with Big Ben through sexual assault, stuck through Big Ben when he got in a motorcycle accident, stuck through Big Ben, who is known as one of the most temperamental interviews in the NFL. So they stuck with him. But the drawing line was when he said he wants to quit and then decided and tried to retract the statement. And if you want to play semantics, he never technically said he was going to retire. He said, maybe I don't have it anymore. Look, if your significant other comes to the breakfast table and says, I'm fielding applications for your replacement, you're starting to think about, I need another place to live. You're starting to think about, I need to get another woman, need to get another man, need to get some. You're looking for their replacement as well. So if they come back and say, I don't like what's out there, so you and I till I die, you're still in the back of your mind thinking he or she may leave me at the blink of an eye. It's the same thing with Big Ben. It's the same situation with Steelers. The Steelers have decided that they're going to move on from Big Ben, as well they should. 2 Super Bowls in the books, one not because of him, one in spite of him. The Steelers have gotten enough mileage out of this mule. Is that a good one? And Big Ben's reaction is that of the temperamental superstar he thinks he is. Eli Manning got benched. He was on a losing team. His star wide receiver got hurt after reenacting a dog peeing on a bush. Like, I don't know what that is. You've never heard him blast the organization. He's got 2 Super Bowls too. It's amazing to me the gall of Ben Roethlisberger, who long was one of my favorite players. It's amazing to me that a guy can come out and be so willy-nilly about his career, so flimsy about the things that he wants to do, so brazen about his lack of wanting to be with the organization, then get mad about who you choose to replace him with. Decide, I don't know if I want to help this guy. You know who that reminds me of? Brett Favre. You know Brett Favre, gunslinger, arguably greatest quarterback in the NFL. Won one Super Bowl. One. Played 99,000 years in the league, won one Super Bowl, and didn't want to help Aaron Rodgers when they drafted him. It's time for the Steelers to do what the Packers did and show Big Ben the door. Enough is enough. No more holding his hand. No more dealing with the comments. You fired Todd Haley. And I don't like Todd Haley either. Todd Haley walked. He just wakes up angry. But it's time for them to move on. Just like it's time for me to roll on. That's it for this edition of the Kwame Fisher Jones Show. We will be back next week, 4 to 5, as always. For those listening, watching, I appreciate your time here. You be easy.